And so you have your Bibles. Let's be encouraged by God's holy word. And, you know, before we get into the message, I kind of back up a little bit here and kind of share a blessing, kind of a story. But anyway, the Lord gave me this sermon recently. I was praying, of course, like with all my messages, when to preach it. And then last men's prayer breakfast, Brother Rod had blessed us with some smoked barbecue ribs. Now, that's a spiritual application to this, okay? But and so it was a blessing. It was, you know, unexpected, but it was a true blessing. And we all dug in. And just to kind of share the enthusiasm, I did take a photo of those ribs. And so it's right. I got a picture right here of the ribs. It was right in the crock pot. I should have taken again once we doused it with barbecue sauce, but I forgot. I didn't do that. But anyway, so we had good barbecue ribs. This was a real blessing. We all dug in, all of us guys digging in. It's a wonderful thing, you know, and we weren't gentlemen. We were carnivores, okay? But joking aside, it would have been, and it got me thinking, it would have been strange if Brother Rod brings up this rib that he's been smoking, I don't know how many hours, but it's, you know, it's a labor of love. It would have been weird if he brings it out and all of us guys, all 10 of us, just kind of stare blankly at it and then just drank milk, and that's all we drank. That's right. It would be wrong, in fact, downright creepy if grown men just drank milk. That's just not how it should be, right? And so, of course, I think you can guess where I'm going. Because strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. And, of course, speaking about Christian growth, so the title of this afternoon's message, Milk or Meat? Milk or Meat? And so let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. We'll start there. And this is a very, you know, it's a very simplistic illustration. Milk or meat, that's the illustration that God uses. But the application is ginormous because this impacts our Christian walk, our Christian growth, or lack thereof. But Hebrews chapter 5, and then verse 12, the word of God says, again, written through God's human vessel to the believers. So these are Christian Jewish believers, okay? And they were being tempted to go back to the law, to go back to the Old Testament, okay? And so verse 12 says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. But everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. Thank you for your word, the milk of the word, and thank you for the meat of the word. Help us to grow as believers, Lord, from babes in Christ to men and women of God, to be Christians of full age. And thank you, Father, for your great love to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless now the time, the preaching of thy word. May we all purpose in our heart to grow for you and to desire the meat of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. And so transitioning from a milk diet to a meat diet, which, by the way, I'm a meat guy. Okay, I love the fattier the better. That's a kind of an Asian thing. But transitioning from milk diet to a meat diet, it's the most natural thing as far as growing up, okay? And the same applies in spiritual growth. Now, of course, God is using that example of milk to meat, and God wants us to grow. Hopefully, we desire to grow. And I remember as a kid, I realized at some point, I don't know, first grade or kindergarten, I realized that, hey, I play all day, and Dad works. So, I mean, waiting for Dad to come home. So I know he's working all day. He comes home, you know, 5, 6 p.m. And then I go up to my mom one day and say, Mom, guess what? I don't want to grow up because if I grow up, then I have to work. I kind of figured it out. I just want to stay a kid my whole life. I'm a Toys R Us kid, you know, kind of thing. And, well, the flesh, my flesh, your flesh, does not want us to grow up spiritually. Because if we grow up spiritually, it means mortifying the flesh. Flesh don't want that. It means living for Jesus, not the flesh. The flesh hates that. Sadly, the reality today, especially in the lukewarm church age as we are, Most Christians are either still on a milk diet or mostly milk diet. Maybe there's some fleshly chunks floating around in there, which is gross, right? And so just have the meat, right? But too often this is kind of where most Christians are, just like the Hebrew brethren are here. They were in the same way. If you look at how God speaks to them, verse 12, for the time, ye ought to be teachers. So it was way past time for them to be matured enough to teach the word of God. They weren't ready for it. It says, ye have need that one teach you again. Okay, one more time. See, make sure you guys got it. So instead of graduating, these Christians, they had to go back to grade school. In fact, not just grade school, because it says, become such as have need of milk. So forget first grade. They had to go back to the nursery. When it's time for them to teach it, because they should have this down pat, they still were kind of not quite. Run that by me one more time. I mean, how many times do you want to repeat school? I mean, at some point you should graduate. That's the idea. And so God tells us now, this is where it gets very humbling. God tells us in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, what he defines as milk. And so therefore, leaving, not abandoning, but leaving as in moving on. It means you should have gotten it by now. Let's move on past page 1, okay? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Perfection, completeness, maturity, okay, spiritual growth. And so these doctrines that are going to be listed here, God calls them milk. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. This is how we get saved. So understanding how to get saved, pre-salvation. Of the doctrine of baptisms, verse 2, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. These are doctrines pertaining to post-salvation, after we're saved. Now, if I can be honest, when we talk about baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, I used to think knowing these doctrines meant I was a pretty mature Christian. Just sharing how I would think. God calls these doctrines milk. Now, milk meaning it's the foundation. It's the basic principles of the Christian faith. Not basic as in unimportant, but basic as fundamental. I mean, these are the key doctrines of the Christian faith. And so we got to know this. And these doctrines can run deep. I mean, there's been dissertations and books written about each and every one of these doctrines. You can find books about eternal judgment and resurrection of the dead and the great white throne and the judgment seat of Christ. You have all these doctrines. But the Lord is saying these doctrines are the fundamentals. They're the, and we should know them. But before I pat myself on the back and say, hey, I'm a solid Christian. No, these are milk. That's huge. Repentance from dead works, of course, works that cannot save, they only condemn us. Faith towards God, that's through Jesus Christ, that's how to get saved. And of course, that's the culmination. Again, the book of Hebrews are written to Jewish believers who are tempted by their false teachers. They're going to go back to just the Old Testament. And the Old Testament, the point of the law of Moses is to bring someone to Jesus Christ to get saved. That's the Old Testament. And so you have the rest of the New Testament that comes after that. And so once you're saved, the doctrine of baptisms. If you're saved, you should get baptized, join a local church to baptism. Once you're saved, you know, do that. And then laying on of hands is speaking about spiritual gifts. You think of the Corinthian church that they were hung up on the temporary sign gifts. They were just carnal in that sense. The New Testament Christians today, God desires us to exercise those spiritual gifts. The purpose and mission of the local church, the Great Commission, sharing the gospel, that's in the church. The resurrection of the dead. Of the believer, of Christians, that the bodily resurrection for us as Christians to reign with Christ in the new Jerusalem on the new earth, and then eternal judgment of unbelievers who are lost, that they'll be cast alive into the lake of fire, the great white throne judgment. And so these are solid doctrines. They're important doctrines. They're necessary doctrines. But the Bible calls these doctrines milk. Not that it's easy or unimportant, but again, these are the fundamentals. These are the basics. And so it kind of got me thinking, well, besides, if this is the milk of the word, what's the meat? Well, Scripture says, go on to perfection, verse 1, right? Let us go on unto perfection. So let's move on from this. And let's go to 2 Corinthians, because the Apostle Paul makes a kind of a similar desire here he shares with the Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, because he also touches on the same going unto perfection, and so God describes it here this way. So 2 Corinthians 13, let's go to verse 9. 2 Corinthians 13, and then verse 9. Now, again, a little context here. The Corinthian church, they were true believers, but they were, by and large, babes in Christ. They were carnal Christians. They were very divided, a lot of cliques. They were very clannish, you know, and they were not, of course, spirit-led Christians. They were fleshly Christians, although saved, but babes in Christ. And so here Paul kind of wraps up 2 Corinthians in verse 9. He says, "For we are glad when ye... when we are weak and ye are strong." Now, they're not strong, but he's saying that would be, that'd be wonderful. That would be great, because their big MO, the big mindset of the Corinthian church, there were many anti-Paul naysayers there that criticized and condemned Paul. He's just a fake apostle, blah, blah, blah. That was his stigma. And they will always knock Paul. They will always, shame him. And Paul would say, "Hey, I don't care. Shame me all I want. If you are right with God, if you are mature, that's great." Okay, so now they're not strong, but of course he's saying it'd be great if you were strong. "And this also we wish." This is his prayer. This is his desire. "Even your" what? "Perfection." Just like the writer to the Hebrews, let us, leaving the principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. We want you to mature. We want you to get it. And so that's huge. Now, if you go back with me, a couple more verses here. In what sense? Again, remember the Corinthian church was a massively schismed and divided church. What they needed was charity, okay? And not just knowing about charity, exhibiting charity, right? Doing charity. So let's go to verse 10, same chapter. Skip down to next verse. "Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness." I mean, he doesn't want to scold him. He wants him to do right to begin with. "According to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification." He wants to build them up and build them up to maturity, to have charity instead of cutting them down, "and not to destruction." And truly, as an apostle, he can bring death and chastisement to them. And so he didn't want to do that. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be" what? "Perfect," meaning mature. "Be of good comfort." Be of what? "One mind," because they were not. Now, they might know those doctrines in Hebrew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. They might know it, how to be saved. They might know it, judgment, eternal judgment, and resurrection for the dead, laying on of hands, baptism. They might know it, but they were not matured because they had no Christian charity among each other. So be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And then verse 12, which is going to hit home for these folks, greet one another with an holy kiss. And it's going to make them like, "What? I'm not going to kiss that guy. He's of Apollos. I'm a Cephas." We don't hang out with those Pauline guys. I mean, again, this is going to force them to get out of the shell, to grow spiritually and love the bread, because they were not doing that. Okay, so this is their perfection that they needed to, and not just them, but ours too. In fact, if you go back one epistle with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, like I shared before, the Corinthian assembly, very carnal church, and they were hung up on the temporary sign gifts, like tongues and interpreting of tongues and visions and all that, because it gave them the most spotlight. Okay, it was done in a very fleshly way. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 31. And so this is where Paul is going to steer them the right way, speaking about spiritual gifts. He says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more" what? "Excellent way." This is a more perfect way, a more mature way, which is what? Chapter 13, the charity chapter. Verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels," and these guys bragged that they did, "and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Just a random sound. Doesn't mean anything if there's no charity. "And though I have the gift of prophecy," which was another one of those temporary sign gifts, right? They could just speak and prophesy God's word and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. That was also another one of the gifts, the knowledge. revelation from God. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Remember what, I think it's in Romans, Paul says, him that giveth with simplicity, right? Just give, no strings attached, right? Just give. If I give all my goods to feed the poor, that's a spiritual gift of giving. And though I give my body to be burned, you can even give yourself as a martyr, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And so charity is that the pinnacle of perfection, of Christian maturity. Knowing all those doctrines in Hebrews chapter 6, those are needful, and those are the basics, the fundamentals. But to be a matured Christian, we have to move on to perfection. That is to live a life of doing God's word in charity. That's huge, which is what they did not have. In fact, if you go down to verse 11, same thing. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Now, this is huge because Paul is saying, yeah, all those spiritual gifts are great. Don't get me wrong. But that is child's play. If you want to be a man of God, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. A man of God gives and exhibits charity. That is the excellent gift. In fact, chapter 8 of same Corinthians 1, or 1 Corinthians, chapter 8, the Corinthians in their typical fashion, they thought they knew all that, which is ironically how I as a kid thought. When I was a kid, I knew nothing. I thought I knew everything. Now that I'm grown up, I'm like, I realize I know nothing. And so verse 1, kind of how they are spiritually. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. So everyone's got an opinion. Paul knew that they thought they knew better. And here's the situation. These Corinthian believers thought they were so smart that because they had the knowledge that an idol was nothing, they just thought, hey, I can eat food offered to an idol, no big deal. Not caring that it would cause a weaker brother to offend. Well, he just better get right with God and grow up. It's the opposite. Because that knowledge profits nothing without charity. And so this is what Paul is saying. They know in theory, which is not wrong, but the ultimate proof of Christian growth is in charity. Knowledge puffeth up. And when I think of this puffing up, it's a kind of a play on words with charity, but charity edifieth, which is also to build up. Edifieth means build up. But the knowledge puffing up here is, I think of the microwavable popcorn. When you put it in we figured out the perfect time is 55 seconds anyway, but it kind of inflates and pop, just, and it looks huge. Of course, it's just hot air, right? And then, or like opening up a bag of chips. You're like, hey, look at this huge bag. You open it up, it's like 2/3 empty. Although I'm a 1/3 full kind of guy. Okay, but I'm just saying, it's just air. And so it puffs up. It looks like it's, oh, this guy's, what a mature, big Christian. Then you poke him, it's just for show. That's how the Corinthians were. But charity edifieth. This is build up for real. It's actual building blocks. You know, it's not just puffed up, it's actual building up. This is huge. So we see the milk of the word saves us. And so without the milk of the word, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word and you grow from it. Okay, so the milk of the word saves us. But the meat of the word makes us live like Jesus. Huge. You got to be saved. That's the milk of the word. But the meat of the word makes us live a life of charity like Jesus, a life of holiness like Jesus. The milk, think of it this way. The milk of the word is knowing it in our heart. So we get saved. The meat of the word is doing it from the heart, okay? Service, ministry, charity to others. The milk of the word is receiving God's love. It's inward and to ourselves. The meat of the word is demonstrating God's love to others. So it goes outward to others. Spiritual growth is when we transition from knowledge to application. And Jesus had his fair share of running with these pharisaical theologians, right? They all got these book smarts. but it won't help the guy in the ditch. There's no chair. All that knowledge doesn't do anything. They're still, if they're even saved, they're just babes. Because one person who is saved and matured will help, would give, would show charity. Pastor Wilkerson over by Hammond, Indiana, is it First or Faith Baptist Church? First Baptist Church. I had the joy of hearing him preach one time, and he said it this way. Too many Christians today are knowledge fat, but application thin. And he got pretty quiet because he was preaching to preachers, and of course we got our book smarts, you know, but all the theology we know doesn't carry any weight if we don't have charity. Ephesians says it this way, spiritual growth for the perfecting of the saints, for the what of the ministry? Work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Work means doing, not just knowing in theory, to do it. Doing God's work in charity. 2 Timothy 3:17 says is that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good what? Works. Not truly furnished unto all good opinions. I mean, yeah, okay, I can write all kinds of opinions. I might be scripturally correct. But if I'm not living a life of charity, of holiness, then that doesn't mean anything. James says it this way. Let's go to James 1, 22. And we know this verse, doers, not hearers. But let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and then verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Of course, by and large, yes, number one, we should obey and do what we hear in Scripture, obviously. But there's kind of a spiritual growth application here where, which is the theme of the book of James, is spiritual growth as it is. But babes hear, grown-ups do. Babes hear, grown-ups do. In fact, do what? If you go to verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now, this law is not Old Testament ceremonial law. Okay, it's not Ten Commandments. This law here is God's way. Okay, this is how God wants to give us freedom. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Amen. Don't just keep going the way we were and don't, you know, it's like, again, you don't be like the man that sees it in the mirror and doesn't do anything about it. Or don't be like that guy who's driving down the highway. You see the exit. It says, spiritual growth, take a right. And you just drive by the sign and stay. No, don't be like that guy. Okay, so you continue therein in the way of spiritual growth, following the perfect law of liberty, perfect, complete, mature way of Christian behavior. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, doing what? Hang on to that thought. Go with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Keep that perfect law of liberty in mind. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And then verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Look at this. For brethren, ye have been called unto what? Liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by what? Love, serve one another. I don't have to serve, I get to serve. And the liberty I have is not to sin, it's to minister to each other. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this is God's purpose of the law. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Colossians says it this way. And above all things, put on what? Charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That's Colossians 3:14. This is how a mature church ought to look, where there's charity among the brethren, loving the brethren, as opposed to the Corinthian divided, immature, babe in Christ, carnal church. Peter says it this way, add to your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. That is, you know, when your faith is tempered with all these things, that is the mature faith that God wants you to have. You start with a baby faith. When you have the matured faith, it has all these things, including charity, which is the capstone. Jesus, our Lord Jesus, says it this way. Let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse, a Sermon on the Mount here, but verse 43. Matthew 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now that's Christian maturity. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same, even the unsaved love those who love them, even baby Christians are nice to those who are nice to them. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now let's go to verse 6 of that same chapter, because I've never quite seen it this way, in the application of milk of the word and meat of the word. Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. My friends, we need to not just thirst for the milk of the word, but we need to also hunger for the meat of the word. And the promise is God will fill us first with the milk. You know, newborn babes, you need to eat it over and over and over and over. I mean, so we got to get it down pat. No doubt about it. The milk of the word is where it starts. The fundamentals, the basics, the pillars of the Christian faith. But beyond that, we have to graduate to meat. The milk of the word saves us, is how we get saved. The meat of the word tells us how to live a life of charity like Jesus Christ. Let's bow heads in prayer. Father in heaven, what a reminder, Lord. Help us to be meat eaters of your word. That when we read your word, Lord, it's not just theory. It's not just so we can answer questions and, you know the answer. It's so that we can live a transformed life like Jesus Christ. This is our desire, to be a perfect Christian, to be a matured Christian. Thank you for your milk and thank you for your meat of your word, Lord. And we help us to hunger for it and to claim your promises, that we know that we will be filled. Help us to love the brethren. Help us to have such perfect testimonies that we love even our enemies. And Lord, they need Jesus Christ. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for loving us when we were yet ungodly in our sins. That you loved us when there was nothing there to love. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Honey, you have a song?